Welcome to the Atlas Mara's conference call for its 2015 full year results. Management will give a presentation, and this will be followed by Q&A. I will now hand the call over to CEO John Vitalo to start the call. Mr. Vitalo, please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, operator. Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, depending on where you're based. Thanks a lot for joining us on this call to review our full year results. Together with me on the call today are Bob Dimond and Ashish Thakkar, our co-founders, Irina McDonald, our CFO, and J.P. Crutchley, our head of investor relations. There's one thing I want to say at the top of the call, and that's unfortunately for important family reasons, I've got to step out of the call after about 45 minutes. Our full year results were released earlier today, and there's a presentation on our website which will form the basis for our discussion this morning. Before beginning it, I'd like to draw your attention to the disclaimer on page one, which I'm going to take as read and acknowledged. Slide two sets out the agenda for this call. We're going to run through the presentation and then open up the lines for questions. Our objectives today are threefold: to provide an overview of 2015 performance, to review how we've performed during 2015 against our Buy, Protect, Grow strategic model, and third, to lay out how we see our business progressing in the medium term to achieve our ambitions of delivering a 2% return on assets, 20% return on equity, and a 60%-65% cost income ratio. First, Bob is going to make some opening remarks. Bob will talk to our vision and also make some comments about the other RNS that we put out today. I'll then summarize how we've performed during 2015 and focus on what's important to us in 2016 and the growth opportunities upon which we're focused before handing over to Irina to address how we've been strengthening the platform. Of course, she'll also talk about the financials in detail. Finally, Bob will highlight the importance we put on management and shareholders being aligned, particularly in a tough year for the stock price like the one we've just experienced, and we'll then open it up for Q&A. Ladies and gentlemen, with that introduction, let me hand over to Bob.
Thank you, John. Our vision is both simple and clear. We will create Sub-Saharan Africa's premier financial institution, and we'll do this through a combination of experience, expertise, and access to capital, liquidity, and funding. Our strategy is also very simple and very clear, and it's all about execution. It starts with our commitment to establish a presence in 10-15 attractive Sub-Saharan Africa countries. As of today, we are in seven countries, having done eight acquisitions. Our strategy includes a focus on regional economic trading blocks. These are becoming increasingly important. We have presence in three of the key trading blocks, the SADC region, the ECOWAS region, and the East African Community. Our strategy is also about attaining top-tier positions in the markets in which we operate. You will have noticed the second transaction that closed in Rwanda to give us just that kind of position, and the second acquisition announced in Zambia for the same reason. The team is committed to attract and retain Africa's best talent to ensure world-class standards of governance, and importantly, to leverage technology which will drive growth, financial inclusion, and efficiencies. I do want to say a few words about the RNS from the board today. You will have noticed press reports over the last few days about a consortium and our working with Carlyle to purchase Barclays' 62.3% share in Barclays Africa. The board RNS today made three very important points. First, their support for this transaction or potential transaction. Second, and importantly, the governance around how Mara and Atlas Mara work with a consortium. They reiterated that both Ashish and I are 100% committed and focused to delivering execution in Atlas Mara. Importantly, the consortium has committed long-term strategic investors. The funding is in place. Again, that's all I want to say about that. Today is about the 2015 results, and I'd like to hear now from my partner, Ashish Thakkar.
Thank you, Bob. Hello, everyone. I wanted to echo Bob's sentiments. We still see huge growth opportunities across the African continent, irrespective of whether a deal with Barclays Africa happens or not. However, I also wanted to take a step back and remind people of where we are and what we have achieved so far. 2015 was obviously less intense on the acquisition front, as John and the team focused on integrating, improving, and enhancing the systems and governance processes and procedures in the businesses that we acquired in 2014. Growth hasn't been our top priority this year, but despite this, we managed to deliver constant currency loan growth of over 15% and deposit growth of 11.5%. We are pleased with the presence we have in the Southern African region and that our increased presence in Rwanda that we acquired in 2015 provides a way of building out our presence across East Africa without paying the high prices that up till recently were being demanded for Kenyan banks. Finally, our 31% stake in UBN is an asset which we regard as highly strategic despite some of the short-term pressures on that particular economy. And with that, I'd like to hand over back to John.
Ashish, thanks so much. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go to slide 7 now in the performance presentation. And this slide provides a summary of the key figures for 2015. I'm not going to talk to every number, but the key thing we want to highlight is the directional trend of our metrics. We know we're not where we want to be, but we're making good progress, and we've come a long way in 2015. And in a year when the focus was on integrating and improving businesses we acquired, we were pleased to report an overall profit, an improvement in ROE and margins, and a lower headline cost-income ratio. Obviously, the decline in book value per share is disappointing, but that's largely due to foreign exchange translation, and Arena will talk about that later. Our focus on credit quality also maintained a high level of recoveries where we outperformed against our expectations. We've got a lot to do, but we think our 2015 results were a strong step on the journey. Turning to slide 8, as you know, we run our business based on key principles of identifying assets to buy in markets we regard as attractive, protecting those assets, making sure they're fit to grow, and then following through by delivering on that growth. Not going to go through each point on the slide. I'd like to draw out a few key ones. We closed our acquisition of BPR earlier this year, Banque Populaire du Rwanda, as Bob just mentioned, merging it with BRD Commercial to form the second largest bank by assets in Rwanda. We reduced our funding costs. We began to build out our global markets and treasury business, and we're particularly pleased that our branding strategy of linking our local brands on the ground that we have acquired with, quote, part of Atlas Mara endorsement is having tangible benefits in terms of the size, tenor, and pricing of deposits. Going to slide 9. Away from the headline figures, what I'd like to talk about here is some of our key achievements over the course of 2015. Despite the share price, we think the company is in a much better position than it was 12 months ago. I want to highlight a few points of that here. Growth. We've shown we can grow the business. Obviously, currencies haven't helped in terms of reporting, but we're able to demonstrate constant currency revenue growth of 24.5%, loan growth of 15%, and more importantly, our overall deposit base is shifting away from high-cost wholesale deposits towards lower-cost, stickier retail and corporate deposits. Funding. Broadening our funding base is important to fulfilling our aims, both in terms of growing the business organically and facilitating acquisitions. And so we're pleased to agree to a $200 million financing package with OPIC back in August that made $130 million available for acquisitions and allows a further $70 million to finance loan growth. Similarly, raising $63 million via a convertible bond was an important last step last October, in terms of broadening our investor base and profile. We were even more delighted to raise an additional $17 million last week, principally off the back of reverse inquiry. And notably, we were able to facilitate local investment in that tap. Credit quality. Credit quality was a success story for us in 2015. Not only have recoveries been ahead of the demanding expectations we had at the start of the year, but that was also reflected in lower NPLs, higher coverage ratios, and the loans that we're writing now are generally of higher quality than the existing stock as well. Returns. Obviously, we're delighted to have made a profit for 2015, but more importantly, we're pleased to have more than doubled our operating earnings figure, which excludes transactional costs, to $25 million, and doubled our operational ROE to nearly 4%. Obviously, there's still a long way to go to our 20% target, but we're happy with the progress so far. And then acquisitions. We announced two in 2015, the Rwandan one we've spoken about. The second was Finance Bank in Zambia, the first completed in very early 2016, and the second one we are working hard to close. Going to slide 10, we talk about our focus for 2016. Our focus is clear in 2016, and that is building on the momentum we delivered in 2015. Again, not going to go through all the points on this slide, but the key things I do want us to deliver, I want to see over the course of 2016 are, one, an even faster metabolic rate and a more performance-focused culture across our operating banks. We want to continue delivering growth rates that we've demonstrated the organization was capable of, but we are also mindful, of course, of economic uncertainties. We will continue to improve risk management and governance, processes, and controls. It is important that we're not just a collection of banks, and hence building that brand equity across our markets with that part of Atlas Mara endorsement is important. We want to show demonstrable revenue from the investments we're making in our technology platforms and digital strategies, and we will see continued focused cost management initiatives while also investing for growth. Our head office cost build and the needed infrastructure investment spend to run the scale of bank we are targeting is now largely complete. This is, after all, a 2015 earnings call, and so I don't want to get distracted from that. But given that we're reported in April, I did want to say a few words about Q1. We've reaffirmed in our statement that we expect earnings growth this year, but Q1 will be a tough quarter as a result of strategic deal costs, the weakness of African currencies, and the lumpy timing of NPL recoveries, of which we had virtually none in Q1, but we have made up for with a good turnout already into Q2. Going on to slide 11 and talking about our digital plans, we've already initiated some priority projects in line with the pillars of our digital strategy. I'm just going to highlight a couple here. At World Economic Forum for Africa in May, we will be soft launching a best-in-class, full-suite mobile banking app that will provide an end-to-end service experience for the rapidly growing number of smartphone users in Africa, where users are not going to only be able to transact, but they'll also be able to effectively monitor and manage their financial transactions, both graphically and with the ramifications of it for enhanced financial health. They'll be able to apply, receive approval, and disbursement of loans in less than 5 minutes based on alternative behavioral data points such as age on network, call and text history, phone recharge patterns, social media usage, and so forth. Because we have a good coverage in Southern Africa and presence in East and West Africa, we're also working on a cross-border funds transfer platform that will facilitate remittances and informal trade flows across our presence countries and those of our select partner banks, for example, in South Africa. It's estimated that intra-Africa remittances are in excess of $25 billion annually. And as you may know, intra-Africa transfers are among the most expensive in the world. So we seek to redefine intra-Africa transfers with a proposition that's swift, affordable, and uber convenient, with customers gaining the ability to send and receive from mobile, internet, ATM, and in branch. With that, I'm going to hand over to our Chief Financial Officer, Irina McDonald, to talk us through some numbers.
Thank you, John. And good day also from my side to everybody on the investor call today. I'm pleased to provide some color to the audited full year 2015 financial results for Atlas Mara at a consolidated group level, as was released to the market this morning and also published on our website, as John has mentioned before. 2015 was indeed an important year of consolidation and integration for the Atlas Mara Banking Group. It was our first full year of operating as an integrated banking group, and we are encouraged with the operational progress of our underlying businesses. With reference to slide 13 in the presentation, as stated earlier, 2015 was a year during which we were intensely focused on improving credit processes and ensuring that the platform and credit book were fit for purpose, fit for growth. As the charts on this page underscore, we have a well-diversified portfolio of assets by country and by sector, and a well-balanced business split between corporate and retail lines. As referenced on slide 14, UBN too has been investing meaningfully over the past several years in its credit processes, and the loan portfolio is representative of the management team's risk management expertise and deep local knowledge and insights. We are comfortable with how they are managing both their FX exposure as well as how they are managing the exposure to oil and gas. As the charts on page 15 will illustrate, we are making significant progress with respect to credit. A $37 million of asset recoveries is representative of our focus on the ground. While NPLs remain higher than our goals, largely as a result of some challenges experienced in Zimbabwe in particular, the focus on recoveries has borne fruit and the direction of travel is positive, as are the associated coverage ratios given our underlying loan exposures. Slide 16 reflects another clear area of focus for our management team, namely to reduce the cost of funds in our banks. As you will be aware, the impact of a reduced cost of funds has a direct positive impact on margins and earnings acceleration. A combination of liability gathering initiatives, brand building efforts, and engagement with development finance institutions has led to a meaningful reduction in our cost of funds across the group. Except for Zambia, where market-related liquidity pressures and an increase in the statutory liquid asset reserve ratio from 14 to 18% have negatively impacted funding costs. We have also seen a substantial increase in deposit raising from corporate lines, mostly SMEs in the markets we operate within. They now comprise just over a third of our funding base. We truly are becoming a bank for local businesses. Slide 17 confirms that our banks continue to exceed minimum regulatory capital requirements. We have supported subsidiary banks with additional capital during 2015, where we have seen value accretive opportunities to do so. We would also note that UBN2 remains in compliance with regulatory capital requirements despite the challenges experienced in the Nigerian market. On slide 19, adjusted operating profit. As touched upon earlier, our 2015 results mark a significant improvement compared with 2014. Our adjusted net income of nearly $25 million, this is excluding M&A and some non-recurring costs, and reported net income of $11.3 million are significantly higher than the respective figures of $9.7 million and a negative $47.8 million in 2014. I would also note that the variances in constant currency terms, thus on an operational level, across our income statement and balance sheet shows some positive trends with good growth, particularly in loans and deposits. Our cost-to-income ratio remains much higher than our medium-term targets, but it reflects investments that we are making in the platform that should deliver operating leverage in the years to come. These results reflect a reporting basis that supports our longer-term sustainable income trends and, given the unique nature of our young organization, is a more comparable base to peer banks around future earnings trends. On slide 20, we reflect the segmental basis where the Southern platform, which is effectively the Bank ABC platform excluding Tanzania, represents the majority of our consolidated earnings, with the East segment not yet incorporating the combined BPR transaction that closed on 7 January 2016. UBN, as you know, is accounted for as an associate and contributed around $20 million of earnings to our group in 2015. In terms of corporate costs, 2015 figures came in largely in line with guidance and reflects our management team's focus on being cost conscious. On slide 21, as also quoted in our RNS this morning, our medium-term guidance remains unchanged. This slide provides a scorecard with respect to where we stand in that journey. In terms of biometrics, we believe we are well on track. In terms of protect metrics, we have done a lot of heavy lifting during 2015, but we have more work to do. With respect to the grow, similarly, we have more work to do, but have laid the foundation during 2015 for an accelerated earnings trend, post-managing some of the near-term macroeconomic challenges. On page 22, we have updated our waterfall analysis presented to the market before, which underpins the medium-term target of 20% ROE. Despite selected headwinds in the short term, our confidence in achieving this target remains unchanged, and the building blocks reflected on this slide underscore the diversity of contributing factors to achieving this target. I'll hand over to JP, who's going to speak about our stock price in some more detail.
Thank you, Irina. Slide 24 highlights our share price relative to a select group of other African banks. We understand that it has been a tough year for investors, and that has been a disappointment for all of us this year. There are a couple of observations I would take away from this chart. Firstly, when I look at our share price performance against African peers in US dollar terms, we see our performance has been broadly in the middle of a pack. That gives us some comfort that the weakness in the stock price isn't at the Smara specific, but it's obviously not an outcome we aspire to, and as you have heard, we're obviously working very hard to reverse that. It's also worth noting that while the chart is set in US dollar terms, the Nigerian banks in this group are being translated at an exchange rate which the market clearly doesn't believe is sustainable, and in the event of a Naira devaluation, their decline would have been all the greater. Secondly, we were also more pleased to note that since the third quarter numbers, when we think our operational momentum became more apparent, we have generally outperformed financials globally, which have obviously been under pressure elsewhere. I'm going to hand back to Bob, who wants to pick up on this theme of the share price more generally.
Bob. JP, thank you. And at the risk of embarrassing you, can I tell you how nice it is to have you on the team and have you here with us? Thank you. One thing has not gone well in 2015, and that is the share price. The single most important thing we can do about that is to continue to provide the kind of execution that this team provided in 2015. But I need to say that we're conscious of it, we share the pain, and we have our money where our mouth is. To give you a few examples of the last point, the executive team at Atlas Mara volunteered to take a large portion of their 2014 bonuses, which were paid in 2015, in shares, $1.3 million. The average price of those shares were $6.50. The chair of our board, Arnold Eckby, has taken 100% of his director fees in shares, and the other independent directors have taken 50% of their director's fees in shares. My partner Ashish and I continue to buy. We have large holdings, and we take no director's fees in either cash or shares. Our CEO and CFO, Don and Irina, gave their approved cash bonus at the end of this year, meaning their bonuses were down 50% and paid entirely in shares. We want you to know that we share your pain, that our money is where our mouth is, and that this is all about execution, execution, execution. And that's how we'll focus going forward. We believe this is the time to be investing because of the platform and the execution. With that, can I hand back to John to wrap up?
Thanks a lot. Before handing back to the operator, ladies and gentlemen, for questions, I just want to close with a reminder about the unique proposition that Atlas Mara represents. And we've got that on slide 27. That unique proposition that Atlas Mara represents is Africa-focused, with a strong management team that is focused on growth, operates a diversified platform, has both operational and strategic expertise, is leveraging technology, has world-class corporate governance, clearly articulated strategy, and a supportive investor base. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I will hand back to the operator for your questions.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And you have a question from the line of Lee Cooperman.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Just really one simple question. You gave a target for your return on equity and return on assets, but you didn't give a timetable. You did say that things in the first quarter would be difficult. There's 20% ROE. What is a realistic timetable for that to be achieved?
This is John here. Thanks for joining the call and for the question. We've always said since we put those targets out, as I think you just said there, these are our medium-term targets. To us, we think that 20% ROE is 2020 is a decent year to pick for that. Fits with medium term, and that's we show a bridge. Indeed, we show a bridge to that on slide 22 in the investor pack today.
Okay. I will look at it. Thank you.
And again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And you do have a question from the line of Paul Wallace. That question has been withdrawn. And we do have a question from Faiz Ilamui.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for the update. Please, can you give us your latest thoughts and thinking around how much capital you're going to need to get to that 20% ROE, hypothetically on a much bigger asset base? How will you get this? How will you get this capital?
How will you get this?
Hello?
Hi, Fayez. Thanks for the question. I'm going to ask Arena to come in on this in a second as well. As you know, for the couple of most near-term acquisitions lined up that are in our pipeline, we already have the financing lined up for those. Beyond that, we have been in some strategic financing discussions, which I couldn't say anything more about than that. To get to that 20% ROE does not require us to make more acquisitions than
now joining.
Operator, are we still there?
Yes.
I just heard hear you.
Something. I heard something say just joining. So, Faiz, what I'm trying to say is that we've got the financing in place for two of the acquisitions, working on strategic financing for another one. We don't have to do any more acquisitions other than the ones that are already in the pipeline for that 20% ROE to come to fruition.
Thanks, John. as you've correctly noted there, we reference in on slide 22 files our medium-term plans that contribute or will be around 15 to 20 billion asset base. We cannot talk around non-public matters that we are working on at the moment, but we remain confident about our ability to raise funding to execute on these transactions. We do have, as we've communicated before, the funding from OPIC as the U.S. Development Finance Institution that is supporting us to the quantum of $130 million for acquisitions specifically. And we also focus on organic growth to achieve these medium-term targets.
Okay, thank you. I have a follow-up, please, if possible.
Sure.
Can you also share with us the latest thinking or what's happening around UBN and the discussions? Are they progressing? I know you can't share a lot, but if you can add any color whatsoever on the consolidation of UBN or the full acquisition of UBN, that's one. Two, your thoughts around the Nigerian currency as per your discussions with whoever is in Nigeria, regulator, your guys on the floor, your guys on the ground, and how are you dealing with that from a growth perspective, and so on and so forth.
Fayez, thanks. It's John. I'll start with not answering your question about UBN and majority, and then ask Arena to come in on Nigerian currency. As you know, our strategy is to have control positions in the banks that we buy. We have a minority position in UBN. We are pleased with that investment, and we see ourselves as natural long-term holders of UBN. Beyond that, I really can't comment more than that. So I'm going to hand over to Arena to answer your questions around the currency.
Thank you, John. Faiz, excellent question. You're aware that we have three board seats together with the management of UBN. We continuously engage local experts, economists, helping us to inform our view about how best to manage the business within this currency headwinds that they're facing. We have just completed a detailed audit. We believe that our balance sheet numbers for UBN are correct and confirmed. UBN management on the ground is very much focused on managing the FX risk very well, and we remain confident in the short term that we will be able to navigate around the foreign exchange challenges that Nigeria is facing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Faiz.
We do have a question from the line of Brian Fuller.
Hi, thank you so much for the update and taking my questions. In the release, you noted that the group's risk appetite is shifting towards sectors that are promoted as growth areas by local governments. Can you please elaborate on that shift, speaking to, you know, the specific sectors and how that varies across the different countries you're in?
I think it was a comment that's a general logic as opposed to something we're going to be able to give detailed numbers on today by sector and so forth. But I'll give you an example. You know, we talked about Zambia in our RNS. Agriculture in Zambia and small scale agriculture is a particular focus of the government. We have always said that we want to be, something we said since we began Atlas Mara, supportive of public policy in the places that we operate. So coming up with new products, new ways to serve the farming community that's good for them, makes money for us, and supports the government, do well and do good, is an example of that. Anywhere that we are, we want to be operating in the most important economic sectors and de-emphasizing the ones that are not.
Okay, great, thanks. And a follow-up to that, you also mentioned that you've had a renewed focus on preventing customer attrition, diversifying portfolio, by increasing the customer base and growing total customer numbers. Can you just elaborate on that initiative and how that is playing out across the various regions?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Arena to talk about that, and you know, the answer is probably a little different country by country and by different regions of Africa. As you know, these are all different, but I think she can probably put some generalizations across the top of all of them.
Brian, very good question. Hello, this is something that's been a critical focus of our businesses. John and Bob referenced the leadership team, the management that we are retaining the top talent in our businesses. We see that coming through increased sales force effectiveness programs that they're rolling out. The new products we're launching gives them the ability to sell well within our current customer base, to increase our cross-selling per customer, and to attract new customers. We've seen very pleasing how Atlas Mara's co-branding and involvement underground in the countries also support growth in the corporate base in terms of that support that we are jointly providing. So very much focused on the relationship managers, new products, and selling within our customer base.
Great. Thank you so much for taking my question.
And we currently have no other questions in queue.
Operator, going to confirm that one more time. No other questions in queue.
We just received two more questions. The first one is from Paul Farah.
Hi, thank you very much for the call. I just wanted to get an idea how, I know you can't shed much light on it, but the Barclays Africa acquisition or proposed acquisition, how that will prevent further, how that takes focus off the acquisitions you currently have in the pipeline. If you could shed some light on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul, for your question. Look, I understand where the question comes from and the interest. Atlas Mara has said what it's going to say about that situation in the release that we put out today. What I can assure you is that I and the rest of the Atlas Mara management team remain resolutely focused on one thing, and that is doing what is best for Atlas Mara to execute the strategy that we have. And we are doing that, and we will do that.
Thank you.
And I would now like to turn the call back over to John Vitale.
Operator, thanks so much. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone who's joined us here this morning, a big thanks to you for coming and listening to us and for sharing in our excitement and pride in this delivering this first full year set of results. I want to leave you with a thought, and that is, yes, the current environment is tough, but there's a big and there. And I'd like to remember this, and the thesis is intact. The thesis on which we have built Atlas Mara and are continuing to build it, grow it, the thesis is intact. You can rest assured that I and the rest of my management team are relentlessly focused on driving the execution to bring that to reality for our shareholders. Thank you for your participation today.
This does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.